This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy wishes to advise the following program, Hide and Seek, is a show intended for an adult audience. Generally, our discussions are of a sexual nature and may contain coarse language and references to drugs.
And seek.
Sit back and enjoy the ride. And enjoy the ride. And enjoy the ride. And enjoy the ride. And enjoy the enjoy. And enjoy the enjoy. And enjoy the enjoy. Hide and
seek.
And enjoy the ride.
You're listening to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Dean Beck with you. James Finlay pushing the buttons. Now, our first guest, you don't mess with her politically, and neither do you try and keep up with her at the pool table. She has a mind like a steel trap and an awesome stroke. She's got a great political pedigree and is related to that great champion of workers and women's rights, Jessie Street. She was good mates with the man who did his best to keep the bastards honest, Don Chip, and she's not afraid to take the big issues to the big boys. Convener of Australia's newest political party, the Australian Sex Party. Fiona Patton, welcome back to Joy 94.9.
Thank you, Dean, and hi, James.
Thanks for coming on tonight.
Thank you.
Now, Fiona, they don't support gender equality or equity. They stigmatise the GLBTI community. They have a pretty bad record on child sexual abuse. They insist that their spokespersons be male, single and celibate, and they believe all things regarding the business of sex cause violence in today's society. They are collectively known as, Fiona?
Oh my God, could it be the church?
Ding, 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 ding.
She wins.
She wins. The church. Fiona, the church has done their best over recent times to promote themselves, but also to really demonise the sex industry and anything to do with sex.
That's right. I mean, I'm trying to read a lot about it to find out where this came from. I mean, why they have such a negative to sex, and certainly, I mean, they have a negative towards women playing any role in that, and then their attitude to the gay and lesbian community is, well, I mean, it's absolutely horrific. And,
yeah,
I mean, they're trying to exempt themselves from any form of discrimination legislation in regards to gay and lesbian communities and women.
Maybe it goes all the way back to Virgin Mary. She obviously didn't like sex, or else, you know, she wouldn't have been a virgin when she had that baby, right?
Well, or even just the idea that that's what they base their whole religion on is, true. You know, is on a virgin birth. You know?
But the whole issue of celibacy in the Catholic Church, at least, is a relatively new invention.
Well, that's exactly, that's what I was reading as well. I mean,
it's not as if since day one that the 12 apostles were virgins.
Exactly. And I celibate. Think, you know, and seeing the way that they do respond to sex, and in particular the sex industry, and or even just condoms or safe sex. I mean, we've just had those appalling comments by the Pope on condom use, and we saw World Youth Day last year, which
a lot of randy Catholics
out there.
One of my friends actually works in a pharmacy in Sydney, and she said we got in so many condoms over that Christian Youth Week, whatever it was, because they're all coming here for a holiday.
Well, you wouldn't want to get pregnant. You'd have to get married, wouldn't you?
Well, that's it. So, you know, fill themselves with condoms. And, you know, what if you put a whole lot of randy teenage Christians together, what do you think they're going to do?
I know, now I see where the virgin birth came from. No, it wasn't me. It was God.
And as we've discussed before, they were in great attendance at Sexpo.
That's
and
right.
Even helped out some of them.
Exactly. We saw a lot of them coming in with their little World Youth Day backpacks. Aww. And a lot of them actually applied for jobs to work on the stand selling porn, for want of a better word.
Yes. But, well, I think, you know, the whole celibacy thing in the Catholic Church is part of the reason why, well, in Australia, over 500 church clergy have now been dealt with in the courts for child sexual abuse. Not one prostitute or so-called pornographer has been convicted of child sexual assault in Australia,
Exactly. Yet every time you see sex on premises venue or an adult shop wanting to open up in a local area, it's the local church that puts in their objections, that puts around the petitions to stop that business from opening in the local council area. And they put forward this notion that if any form of adult premises opens, that it will cause increased violence in the community, or, you know, and I can't believe they even say it, more, you know, sexual abuse of children. Mm. And you kind of think, well, actually, you know.
And what baffles me is how the Catholic Church still won't acknowledge many of the outstanding issues. They are doing their best at all times to sweep it under the carpet. And I know that they've come out publicly saying that they've set up support groups and networks and apologised. But until the apology comes direct from the top, absolutely, and by that I mean Vatican City.
Yeah. Oh, not the top.
Not
divine intervention, James. I'm not referring to that.
I was getting a bit excited there. Join the church.
I think it was really interesting that Ireland has just had a royal commission into sex abuse in the church.
Wow.
And like, you know, that, I mean, that is the hometown of our Catholicism in Australia. And I think
and the US Catholicism.
Yeah, and the US, that's right. They're both Irish based. So I mean it would be great to see the Australian government or Australia saying, hang on, I don't think the church is doing very well in saying, we'll address this ourselves. I think it's really time that we actually took the government into addressing it. If it had been any other industry, I mean, imagine if the adult industry or even the food and beverage industry had 500 prosecutions.
Yeah.
My God, you know, we'd be saying, close the industry down.
That's an amazing legal point.
We had a royal commission for a fire. Rightly so.
Mm.
But this is one hell of a fire.
That's right.
And it just consistently is burning. The issues that arose from the Irish investigation were far more horrific than they had ever assumed.
That's right. Exactly. And they'd also found that a number of the perpetrators had also been shipped out to Australia. I remember George Pell saying just, you know, probably a month ago, saying, oh, well, yes, we looked into that and really they didn't do anything once they got here. Mm. Oh, all right then, end of conversation on that.
Yeah. It's about time that they were brought to account. What would the Australian Sex Party advocate if they got into the Senate?
I would actually be calling for a royal commission. I think
nothing less.
Nothing less, and I know it's a big call, and it's probably very unlikely when you think of the support that the churches provide to the major churches. Mm. The major parties. Mm. I mean, we've got Kevin Rudd addressing the Australian Christian Lobby's national conference.
It's quite scary that they have so much power.
That's right, and that's the only reason I can think that when you look at those figures, that there isn't politicians jumping up and down saying, hang on a second, exactly, you know, we need to investigate this.
And then suddenly they're bankrupt.
Yeah, well, exactly. I know, yeah. No, we've just had enough money to put that extra spire on the cathedral. We have no money to pay victims.
In 2002, it was reported that the South Australian Department of Human Services conservatively estimated the cost of child sexual abuse and neglect in 1995-96 to be $354 million in that year. Now, over that same period, the state earned from the sale of wine, $318 million, and the sale of wool, $239 million. So it cost the state in that year more regarding child sexual abuse. It's just appalling. Now, what is the link with the business of sex and violence, as the churches seem to link them so comfortably together?
And I don't know. Mm-hmm. I can find no evidence of a link between consenting adults doing what comes naturally to them and violence.
If anything, I think the only link is that it would actually, wouldn't it, like, help? Like, if someone's sexually frustrated, they could...
Yeah.
Well, you know... church sex abuse records.
Oh, yeah.
Celibacy. I don't know. Should we find a link there?
Exactly.
You know, it's.
Mm.
I do think it's just it's such an unnatural approach to sex. And it's not the whole. It's not every Christian in the world. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that just because you believe in a religion or believe in Christianity that you have a negative
it's
attitude
to
sex.
It's not about your belief, your faith is what you're saying. It's about the organisation of the church. Fiona, we'll just take a little break. You're listening to Hide and Seek. We're with Fiona Patton from the Australian Sex Party on Joy
94.9. Hide and Seek.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au or, if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Hide and Seek.
Sponsored by Circuit Bar. Circuit.com.au.
We're with Fiona Patton from the Australian Sex Party, Australia's newest political party. Fully registered, Fiona?
Yes, we are official. The Electoral Commission, ticked off, and we're now, we'll be up there on the ballot paper next to Australian Liberals, Christian Democrats. And
the protests against your registration was the fact that you had sex in the name. I wonder how many of those were from the church.
Well, yes, goodness. When I Googled every single one of the objectors, I found that a number of them had written for a number of Catholic newspapers or Catholic websites. And yes, again, this notion that somehow the word sex is obscene or objectionable. I still think the church has a lot to answer for that.
Yeah, we've got a long way to go. I've got some interesting statistics here, Fiona, that came out from Alcohol and Other Drugs Council of Australia in 2002. They reported that 34% of homicide offences and 31% of homicide victims were under the influence of alcohol at the time of the murder.
Not under the influence of a vibrator?
No, nor were they watching porn at that moment in time either. Between 41 and 70% of all violent crimes in Australia are committed whilst under the influence of alcohol. 77% of street offence incidences, such as assault and offensive behaviour, are alcohol-related. And that alcohol is involved in about 50% of all cases of domestic violence and sexual violence. I don't see porn anywhere there.
No.
Oh, that's strange.
It is strange. In all honesty, I've been on a lot of the council hearings when the church and a lot of those religious groups have been objecting to the opening of sex venues or adult stores, and never can they bring any evidence to the table.
Mm, yeah.
You know, they come out with sort of not even anecdotal. They have nothing. They have nothing. Occasionally they find a woman who says, I was beaten by my husband and he would look at porn. But generally the thing that they forget, that they generally mention is he came back from the pub and he beat me. And
John Howard's Liberal government brought in a ruling that the adult industry could not ship or sell into certain postcodes in the Northern Territory, Aboriginal communities that were dealing with some major issues. And a part of the Howard intervention was to ban the sale of pornography into those postcodes, those regions.
Yeah.
What do you think about that banning process? Has it worked, do you know? I know that from the industry perspective, they took it very seriously and ensured that they didn't ship into those postcodes.
Look, I actually met with the then minister, Mal Brough, and we said, we don't agree with this.
Mm.
We don't believe that this material, and particularly the material being sold by legal businesses, has anything to do with the sex abuse of children in those communities. However, we will adhere to it and
fully support it
and do whatever we can.
Yeah,
I think now, sort of nearly 2 years down the track, where it is 2 years, I don't think the intervention works on many levels. And I also think, I think it's hugely discriminatory. And it even doesn't address what the actual Sacred Children report said. There's no point banning material. There is no point banning. What we need to do is educate people.
Mm, yeah.
You know, if adults want to view this material, that's one matter. It's allowing children to view it. That's what's wrong. And there's plenty of laws to say that it's absolutely illegal to allow children to view this material. So uphold the laws, the existing laws. Don't try and introduce special laws for Indigenous people.
Yeah. And I think what singularly that particular ban doesn't address is the addition or banning of alcohol. Now, I wonder if we had kept the status quo regarding porn and simply banned the sale of alcohol, whether the statistics would have cleaned up. I mean, it's been quite evident in Aboriginal communities that have had dry legislation that things are looking up.
Yeah.
Just by the removal of that.
Yeah, and again, I think I still find a lot of the intervention incredibly racist and incredibly problematic on a personal level. I think we've got to look at the fact that we've got, you know, the lack of housing, the lack of jobs, the fact that people are just living in extreme poverty. I mean, in a lot of those communities, there's not even running water.
And under and we're appalling worried health about, conditions.
And we're worried about
porn. Yeah.
Debbie Does Dallas. You know, and I think really if we had, if the money that we'd spent on the intervention had been spent on infrastructure, one, you know, and I know we're having this debate in the media now that, you know, $300 million later and still not a house built.
Yeah, what is that about?
Yeah, well, you know, frankly, it's certainly not about sex.
It's actually appalling. It really is appalling.
It is. And I think because of this intervention, this notion that we've called it this grand intervention, but we haven't actually done anything. And we've called, you know, we've made a lot of big statements, and the previous government and even this government as well has made these huge statements about what they're going to do. Yeah, and frankly, yeah, as I say, I think they've made some really racist decisions while not actually addressing the problems of unemployment, lack of education, and lack of basic services.
Hmm. On a cheerier note.
Cheerier note, yes.
You're having a sex party.
We are having a sex party.
The sex party's having a sex party.
A sex party party. Oh. Yes. An after-work sex party party.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. We're getting to see a lot of our supporters, and I think, it will be our first sex party, so it should be very interesting.
And you've got on your website, I noticed, that you want to throw 1,000 sex parties before the next federal election.
Yes.
Now, that's going to be a bit of an issue if there's a double disillusion, but I usually have to move pretty
quickly. Very
quickly,
that's right. Yeah, they don't have to be big parties. I mean, I'm hoping that supporters will say, I'm throwing a sex party Friday night at my house or Sunday morning at the local cafe.
Now, if I wanted to throw a sex party, I'd have thrown the odd sex party, but none of them have been. None of them have been political, actually.
Yeah.
No, no. What, I've been to VAC and got my condoms. What can I get from the Australian Sex Party if I throw a party?
We do have a bit of a party pack, which includes, you know, banners, streamers, the odd rosette, and a bit of DVD and the odd sort of prize and gift giveaway.
Any stickers, T-shirts?
Stickers, T-shirts, sorry. Yes, also in the party pack, Dean.
Is there a cutout stickers. Of yourself, a big cardboard cutout?
Not yet.
Oh, we
not
need the Fiona
yet.
Patton standee. Fantastic. We need the Fiona Patton Australian Sex Party standee. I'll work on that one for you. We've been talking to Fiona Patton from the Australian Sex Party. AustralianSexParty.org.au is the website. Check it out.
Thanks, Dean.
Thanks, Fiona. You're listening to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Hide and Seek.
Sponsored by Circuit Bar. Circuit.com.au.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.